You're listening to Plain Label Podcasts, and on this episode, we continue our theme of comebacks. Hi, welcome to the second episode of Volume 2 of the 7th series of Plain Label Podcasts. I made that last part up. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Eric Williams.
Oh, no middle name. I figured Volume 2, we're going to have really like a powerhouse middle name.
All right. Eric Star-Lord Williams.
Oh, nice. That really fits my persona really well.
Right? Yeah. Right? We're going to do superheroes from now on. Anyway, in our second look at comebacks, we're looking at the comebacks of director Martin Scorsese and actor Matthew McConaughey with the films Gangs of New York and Dallas Buyers Club, not Dyer's Ballast Club. That's totally different. It's a different movie.
It's a porno.
Yeah, probably. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Go to deliberatenoise.com, check out some of their other shows. Do it. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Williams, while some things have changed about the show, we're still drinking. Okay, so what do you have for me today?
I'm having the Rachel Zelag. It is the Svedka vodka.
It can be a lot of things.
It's Svedka vodka and lime LaCroix.
Oh.
So.
And I'm just having lime LaCroix.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, it's during the week, so.
Well, it's 12:30.
Some people are responsible. Dang, I better stretch these
let's
out.
Let's not get carried away. Let's not put labels on people that don't want labels.
I'm thinking I need to really say, hey, Cruz, let's do our next show in like 30-some days. Like 30 days.
27.
It's really going to be tough for me to get the copies of that next movie.
I'm going to have one vodka die.
Maybe. I'm surprised you made it through Vegas, though.
I know. I'm really proud of myself.
Yeah.
I really am. Like, I did a good job. Like, stayed up pretty late, way past my bedtime, but I still was alive. So,
good doing.
I went, and I didn't go to jail.
Yeah. All around good.
All around good.
Yeah. All right, Cruz. Well, we're going to start chronologically, right?
Yeah, that's what we all want to do.
And we're going to go with my pick first, which I feel like is a rarity. I feel like I always go second because it's like, oh yeah, let's just get this silly Rachel pick out of the way and then we're really going to get into the important movie is the way that I feel like I structure it. Yeah, it's like a real dick move. You know?
It is a dick.
But if I talk about it the other way, it's like, okay, well let's get the real discussion out of the way first and then we'll deal with Rachel second. So either way, it's like a dick move.
That is the douchebag who made us watch Old Boy. So
yeah, that's right. So we're gonna go. We're gonna go chronologically once again. This movie is from 2002. It is Gangs of New York.
Anything in your pockets tonight?
Oh, I ain't started working yet.
What about that locket that I gave you?
That's the building of our country right there, Mr. Cutting. Americans are burning.
I don't see no Americans. I see trespassers.
His name's Amsterdam.
The appearance of the law must be upheld, especially while it's being broken.
A man who will fight for freedom.
There's more of us coming off these ships every day. 15,000 Irish a week.
A man who will kill for power.
Mulberry Street. And Worth, Cross, and Orange, and Little Water. Each of the five points is a finger. When I close my hand, it becomes a fist.
Bricks, bats, axes, knives. Pistols?
No, pistols.
Good boy.
I give you my word, this will all be finished tomorrow.
No, it won't.
First thing that born, born, born,
seen his father killed in a major Taken gang fight in New York, young Amsterdam Valiant is spirited away for his own safety. That's his name. Some years later, he returns to the scene of his father's death in the notorious Five Points District in New York. It's 1863, and Lower Manhattan is run by gangs, the most powerful of which is the Natives, headed by Bill the Butcher Cutting. Lot of knife stuff going on. He believes that America should belong to native-born Americans, which is adorable, and opposes the waves of immigrants, mostly Irish, entering the city. It's also the time of civil war, and forced conscription leads to the worst riots in U.S. history. Amid the violence and corruption, young Valiant tries to establish himself in the area and also seek revenge over his father's death. And you basically don't need to watch the movie, because that's it.
That's
Cameron
it.
Diaz.
Ooh, yeah. We'll get to that, boy.
Yeah, that was cool.
So Gangs of New York, the reason that I picked this film, even though I had seen it before, but I very vaguely remember it. And the reason that I think that it is a comeback of sorts, or at least it's up for discussion, is because before this, Martin Scorsese, I know him from, you know, sort of his early 80s type stuff, his late 70s, early 80s, with your Taxi Driver and your Raging Bull and that kind of stuff, right? Like his real famous things. And you have Goodfellas in 1990, and outside of, you know, we did Cape Fear, which we didn't really love.
No.
And outside of Casino, which some people really like, and I don't, it's kind of like just the lesser Goodfellas to me. Like, it's similar enough to where I don't really separate the two of them that much, if I'm being honest.
I thought it was a spinoff, to be fair.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So after Goodfellas, you have kind of a string of films that are just like, okay. I didn't like Bringing Out the Dead, and I never saw a movie that I'm not even going to pronounce that was about the Dalai Lama. I'm not going to try.
What?
So I didn't see that. I haven't seen The Age of Innocence either, which came out in 93. And then we had Gangs of New York. And Gangs of New York was a film that was up for 10 Oscars, I believe, if the internet machine. Yeah, nominated for 10 Oscars. So for me, that's kind of a big, you know, it's a big time comeback if it's a film that's so highly acclaimed.
Really was nominated for 10 Oscars?
Yeah, it was. And thinking about the film after I saw it the first time and started watching it again, the only thing that I really remembered was Daniel Day-Lewis. And
with the eye.
Yeah, with the eye. And the tapping of the glass eye. And that's kind of all I had remembered from the first go. And I enjoyed the majority of this, even though there was parts of it that I really kind of struggled with. So what did you think overall of this one?
Yeah, I remember watching this, like, maybe not right when it came out, but, like, around when it came out. And that's all I literally remember is, like, Irish people and Daniel Day-Lewis. And so and fighting. And so I definitely needed a rewatch because I had no idea what was going on. I don't think I liked it as much as you did.
Really? Okay.
Which we'll get into a little bit, I guess, or I could just.
Sure. Go ahead.
Right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, I think it was like a really well-researched movie to the point of that's, I felt like what it was all about. Mm. Like, when they were talking about the rioting at the end and like, he just wanted you to know that like so much research went into this movie. It's like the new Titanic. It's like, we did countless hours of knowing what was going on in the time. I don't know about costuming. I mean, you could have put somebody in a dog suit and I would have believed you, but like, just that, like, I hate being spoon-fed things.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when it's like 1846, like New York, like, can you like get us there through context clues kind of stuff? And so like a lot of that, like, I don't know. I feel like it wanted to be a documentary, but it also wanted to be historical fiction. And so, as someone who like really enjoys historical fiction. I thought a lot of it was like kind of heavy-handed, I guess. There it is, on the details.
What I think is funny about that is I have in my notes here that there were times when I felt like I didn't know what was going on.
Really?
Yeah, because like I have no history whatsoever with New York. Right? I've never been there. I've never wanted to go there. As people who know me should know, I have a big anxiety problem with it when it comes to crowds and large, you know, lots of people. And
right.
That's, so I would, New York is just not a thing that I would want to experience. And I'm fine being the country mouse and going to the scary city of Omaha, right?
Oh my God.
And so.
The big city.
Like with the whole 5 points. And the different gangs, and they're listing off all of these gangs, and I was like waffling between, am I supposed to care? Like, are any of these gangs going to ever come back besides the Dead Rabbits, which I figured was going to, you know, the
right.
first time I saw it. And I like 5 points, like, you know, so what? Like, I just didn't know or care about the significance of that.
Right.
And then some of the things like, the way that the Civil War happened and the draft was going down and that sort of thing did feel very heavy on the research. But for me,
yep.
for someone that didn't know that information, I was like, oh, well, that's kind of nice because otherwise I didn't know at all. You know, so it's like I get that it can be burdensome and it can be like, okay, I get it. You did all of the research for your assignment. You got an A, move on. You know,
right.
for
yeah.
me, it was like, oh, I didn't know jack shit about any of this. So it was, like somewhat educational. And I guess our problems are different because I had problems more with some of the actors than I did with the actual story.
Oh, well, don't get me wrong. I wasn't done.
Well, please continue then, Cruz.
No. I get, like, that's half the point of historical fiction is to, like, give you those details. I don't know, maybe I was overreacting, I guess, when I saw, like, I feel like what they did, though, like, didn't move the story along. How about that?
Okay, like, sure.
During, like, yeah, we need to know that there were gangs in New York. Great, it's the title, let's move along. But, like, yes, obviously there were riots in the street, but I feel like that scene went on forever. I feel like it was like 25 minutes of watching random people fight each other.
You mean towards the end or at the beginning?
Yeah. No, towards the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very long scene.
And can we talk about the beginning fight scene and
sure.
how that looked fake as shit? Did it not? I swear to God, it looked like someone fake punched and then they flopped. It was like watching an NBA game. Like, I didn't see any blood.
I kind of liked the beginning in that I thought that it set the tone because it felt like a Braveheart style fight in the United States.
Oh, I loved that idea.
Right?
Like the 5 points. I think that's really cool. And to be honest, I don't know a lot about New York, so I don't know if that was an actual thing that happened or not.
Mm-hmm. So I think we're on the same page in that the idea of it is good. It's just the matter of the execution left a little to be desired in the actual fighting.
Yeah.
Parts.
And there was like low key rock jazz music playing, which I was unsure about why that was happening. Like I wanted like Dropkick Murphys right there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted some fight music, but it was like, we're doing alt rock while
we're doing
slow punches.
It did seem weird. It did seem like you need to either be authentic to the time, which would have been a little corny and maybe not the best way to go, or it needed to be like more modern. It just felt like
it
fell in the middle.
Right, you need to be like Baz Luhrmann. Like you need to like be uber like pop
like,
music.
Like
or
on
something.
The edge,
yeah.
Like trendy and that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess that just threw me for a loop. I totally agree with you. I love the, like, gags. It was like Anchorman, only real.
Wow, I did not think of that. Now, one of the things that I did like is, you know, when they're going through that opening, and we'll have to speed through some of this because it's a very long movie, but when you go through that opening scene and it's all of the sort of caverns and all of these, like, it felt like I was in the Lord of the Rings or something with all of these depths below.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this, there's no way. Like, this is how it actually
was.
They
go straight into Mordor.
Yeah. It's like they were coming out of Mordor and they had these dead rabbits. And I was like, who gives a shit about these rabbits? And they do the whole kicking the door open and it's snowy outside and no one's there. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I liked that because you have all this anticipation. But up until that point, I was like, God, who gives a shit? Like, I just didn't care at all, right?
Right.
But then Daniel Day-Lewis comes on the screen and I'm like, oh, now this is my stuff. And I was like, I could just sit and listen to him because, you know, you can look at all the IMDb trivia and read about how he stayed in character even after the filming was over and they went to lunch. Scorsese and DiCaprio and him went to lunch and he was in character still and the waitress didn't want to come near him and all this sort of stuff.
Really?
And about how he...
Did he bring a pig with him?
I have no idea if he was like, this is, you know, kill shot or whatever he called it. And then, you know, he had shaved his head after because he was so tired of it being all greasy like that.
Yeah, that was nasty.
And so there's all that kind of stuff, but I just loved everything sort of about the way that that was played. And I think that that's why in my mind that sort of supersedes the film. I just think of it as a Daniel Day-Lewis performance first and then a movie second.
A one-man show.
Yeah, kind of. But the thing that I wanted to get to before I forget, and I guess I wouldn't probably forget, but I want to talk about Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie.
Okay.
And I felt like I wanted him to be the departed Leonardo DiCaprio, to where I feel like this was like the last like grasp of him being like a young star, and I didn't like it because go ahead.
Honestly, I think you know, I don't know about you, but I think that Leonardo DiCaprio is like ridiculous, like in The Aviator and other movies that I've seen him in, not so much The Beach, but like I think he's obviously a really good actor. Mm-hmm. But I think his character was like super kind of blah, like, oh, I'm sad and I ran away and now I came back. Like, I think a lot of people could have played this character.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he didn't get to be, like, to be the Daniel Day-Lewis, because it almost was like a second fiddle character to this big, huge, larger-than-life butcher.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't even, like, to be honest, I didn't even care about if he, like, avenged his father or not. Like, that, to me, that I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah, okay, so here's some of my questions. So we have, you have to leave the knife on the blade, Cruz.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
So
I'm not a butcher.
At the beginning, we have Liam Neeson, and he cuts himself.
Oh, didn't he say blood? Didn't he say leave the blood on the blade?
What did I say?
Knife?
Oh, leave the blood on the blade. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it means, like, you keep that. That's a special present for you because you killed something.
Okay, well.
Congratulations.
And so I was just like, that's the thing that I'm supposed to like take away. Like that's your through line. That's the beginning and the end of the whole moral or whatever. I was like, I was just like, what? So what? I just didn't care about that at all.
I really didn't either.
And so the thing is I get that he is. Not, okay, like he can't be as big as Daniel Day-Lewis in performance or character because you can't have two people competing for that big role or that big performance. But he was so boring and he was, and the character, I didn't even think like the motivation was sound at all because like you were saying, they had this fight, the challenge was accepted, Daniel Day-Lewis wins, he kills the guy from, he kills Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And he's like,
don't rob him.
Yeah. He says he like treats him as fair as you could be treated, it seemed like. And then he has this big revenge. Now, I did really like the fact that he plotted several times and failed a few times to like get his revenge.
Yeah, I did. I liked
you know,
that too.
As, and I guess I liked it, but I was like, oh, we still have like 20 minutes left of this, or...
Alright.
You know? It's like
I got Hot Pockets.
I was like, oh, that's... Oh, shit, that means it's not over. So I did really like that part because I thought that was clever because we had the whole throwing the knife into the tree and it was all set up and then it just didn't work out. And I thought that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
I did like that part. So
you got to fall down and get back up, you know,
yep.
Motivation.
Let's talk about easily the worst part of the movie though. Why is Cameron Diaz in this?
I mean, was she like fresh off another movie and she thought she'd try her hand at not just being a ridiculous blonde? I'm not really sure.
And okay, so I read up a little bit on this and it said that she was picked because, well, a different actress was picked and the studio didn't want to go with her. I don't know. I'd have to look again. But a different actress was picked who's not a big, like, famous sort of person, right?
And could it have been an Irish person, possibly?
I don't think so. And so they decided to go with her because she was more of a box office draw.
Sure.
And my initial reaction is, okay. And then I think, well, wait a minute. Who's going to go see this because Cameron Diaz is in it? Like, oh, we have this Daniel Day-Lewis, Leonardo DiCaprio, Martin Scorsese film. But it's got Cameron Diaz in it, so now I'm going to go see it. It's like, what the no. It doesn't matter who the female lead is.
For girls, it does. And I'm not saying for me it does, because I obviously don't care. But, like, girls are like, oh, I wonder what the chemistry is between... Okay, that's not fair. Not just girls. People are like, I wonder what the chemistry is between Cameron Diaz and Leonardo DiCaprio. Is that going to be fun? Because, like, honestly, sometimes you watch a movie, like, I can't think of one right off the top of my head, of course, but, like, the chemistry between, like, the male lead and the female lead is, like, so good, you're like, damn. Like, I want to see if this is good, too, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think people wanted that because Leonardo DiCaprio was huge and, like, you know, Cameron Diaz was big at the time, and they wanted to see, like, oh, maybe they'll, like, what is it, like, sizzle on screen or something, when they should have just cast Kate Winslet and gotten it over with, but I'm not really, you know, saying anything, so.
Okay, so I found it. So, originally, they were looking at Sarah Michelle Gellar, who had to drop out due to schedule. And then Martin Scorsese wanted Sarah Polley, who is now known more for being a filmmaker than she has been than an actress. Like, she did Take This Waltz, Stories We Tell, which is a documentary about her family. And then she did the infamous movie Away From Her, which is the movie, the only time we've had a solo review, where I review this on my own and tried my damnedest not to, break up while I was talking about the movie. Cause I absolutely love that movie.
You did a great job.
Absolutely love it. And so she was the actress that they wanted, but the studio said, no, you have to have a more bankable star. And I just don't get it.
I mean, what I want to see, like, what in 2002, was it like, what's that movie with Lucy Liu?
Oh, you mean Charlie's Angels?
Yeah, so Charlie's Angels is like 2000.
But that, I feel like that's sort of toward the tail end of her being like a big thing, though.
But then she was in Shrek. I don't know. She still did other movies like The Sweetest Thing in 2002. And Charlie's Angels Full Throttle was 2003.
I mean...
Listen, I'm not trying to like... I'm not trying to be like, she did all these great movies. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Shrek. I'm not going to throw that one away. But I disagree with the choice. I understand why we need somebody big in there to see if... It's like when, I don't know, when Jennifer Lawrence is in a movie with Bradley Cooper, I'm like, I'm going to watch that shit. I don't care if they're reading the phone book together. Like, they have so much chemistry together that, like, I don't really care.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess I can see that. I mean, she's just like
the... It didn't work.
Yeah, she's like...
It didn't work at all.
She's just the black hole of chemistry, though. I just feel like she just seems so unlikable to me personally whenever I see her on screen. She just comes off to me, and always has, as just a person that I would not enjoy being around.
I believe that. If you were in a room with Cameron Diaz, you two would probably not have a lot to talk about.
Well, no, she's got just the... She's so... like, she just seems loud. I just don't like that. You know? She's got that really, really loud, obnoxious laugh. And she's just got so much, her just, I don't know, she's just got such a big face and that.
Just seems loud.
You're just too darn loud. That's from Back to the Future.
Just too darn loud. Yeah, that was actually
that's the Huey Lewis. Yeah, that's good. Wow, look at you. So she was not good, right? And as soon as they started doing the whole like, oh, you know, she likes him and he likes her, but they can't be together, and then Daniel Day-Lewis may have something to do with it, and Henry Thomas from E.T. showed up again.
He
wasn't anyway. Very good either. So I don't know. So I was just kind of like, God, what the hell? This seems so predictable. And it was also, it struck me so much as like, oh, no wonder they did The Departed together later, like Leo and Martin Scorsese. Because there was all these things that were like fairly similar to where it's a guy pretending that he's one of the bad guys, and you've got this girl who can sort of figure things out if she wants to. And it just struck me as like, oh, okay, well, this, no wonder they did that soon after. You know, it's like, right. It's not the same story, obviously, but it's like in the same ballpark in terms of what Leo's character is being asked to do. And I think that The Departed is a better movie, but I actually, you know, and I feel like I'm stooping down to agreing with everything you're saying that you don't like about it. But I did like the movie. Like I was watching it and like, you know, I wasn't like hate watching it or anything like that. I was enjoying myself.
You know? I wasn't hate watching it. Well, okay, first of all, wasn't The Departed, that was a Japanese movie, right? That we stole from them.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
I was pretty sure I was hungover, and like it was even hard for me to take notes during this because I was like laying on the couch trying not to die. But I really don't think that had anything to do with it. I'm just gonna say.
Okay.
I wasn't hate watching it, but I was honestly like, this shit could have been a 20-minute movie about like coming back, and maybe 45. You know, we could have taken the Cameron Diaz shit out. Like, we didn't even really need that distraction. Like, you need to just focus, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, it did, I don't know. I thought that there was, I feel like it's so clear how good of a performance that Daniel Day-Lewis gives that it's, like, not even really worth discussing that much. You know?
Oh, yeah. Like, I won't argue that he was, like, ridiculous. Just amazing and super convincing, and I, horrifying and greasy, but also sort of charismatic. Like, yeah, I don't really know how to describe it.
Oh my God. So this, I just looked, and this was nominated for 10 Oscars. It didn't win one.
Okay, I'm just saying.
It won 2 Golden Globes. It won for Best Director and Best Original Song from Flippin' Bono. But yeah, it was from U2.
Not Flippin' Bono.
No, Flippin'. But it was nominated for Best Music, Best Sound, Best Editing, Costume Design, Art, Set Decoration, Cinematography, Writing, Directing, Leading, and Best Picture. And it didn't win for any of them.
Who won though?
I find it hard to believe that the 2003. Oh, this is when Adrian Brody won for
The Pianist.
The Pianist, yeah, and he went against Jack Nicholson and Daniel Day-Lewis. And that was about Schmidt, and then this.
He was good though. Those were all good performances.
Yeah, that was good. I can see where, I don't know. I guess The Pianist is such a heavy movie that it's like, I almost feel like, all right, well, you gotta give it to him. That's such a bummer of a film. You know, it's like, yeah, you've made it all the way through that. Here's your award.
He like literally, you know, made it through.
Yeah, really.
No, ugh. It was just a movie.
Yikes.
Okay, so do you think it was a successful return?
I do think it was. I think that it was the movie that whether we liked it as much as other people or as much as the Academy or the people that do the nominations, whether we liked it as much as they did or not, I think that it did make the sort of return of Martin Scorsese. And it was sort of like he's a, you know, frontline director who's making interesting things that you have to go see. I think that it succeeded in doing that. I didn't love the movie, but I thought it was, I think more highly of it than what I'm leading on, is what I should say.
I would have to agree with you as far as comebacks go. I don't think I'll ever watch this movie again in my whole life, but it was an old boy, and it was fairly interesting, so.
Yeah, I mean, because
I would say it was successful.
Yeah, because after this is when Leo and him started working together a lot, because he did the Aviators, his next movie. And then they
The Aviators so good.
And then they did The Departed, and then they did Shutter Island. And then he tried doing his kids movie with Hugo, but then he made The Wolf of Wall Street.
Hugo was good.
Okay. And then he, after Wolf of Wall Street, he's made Silence, which came out late last year, earlier this year, and then they're in pre-production of a movie called The Irishman.
Oh my gosh, it's a sequel.
Yeah, it has got, it's got an interesting cast. It's Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci, and I didn't realize we were in the 80s still, but I guess we are.
And it's called The Irishman.
The Irishman.
Okay. He knows they're Italian.
It's about Jimmy Hoffa, so.
Aha.
It's about the mob, if you could. Ahafa, whoa. We have found our new low.
You're welcome.
Man, alive. Okay, so let's see. You also thought it was a return for Scorsese, even though we may not have loved it?
Right.
What was your favorite moment of the movie?
The part with Liam Neeson.
The beginning with Liam Neeson, huh?
Maybe, I don't know. What about you?
I quite enjoyed... I really enjoyed the butcher's introduction.
Yeah, that was good.
And then
I like the throwing the knife.
The throwing of the knife? It was scaring the shit out of her, yes. I really like that whole sequence at the Barnum and Bailey sort of thing. I really liked that.
Yeah.
How about your least favorite moment or the moment where you were cringing?
I think that the fight scene at the beginning where they're playing soft rock.
I had marked down that the one that I was least looking forward to discussing, I guess, was the whole bit where Leo follows Cameron Diaz, and it's like it's them connecting and all that.
She's the pickpocket, and he touches her boob.
I just didn't care about all that. Oh yeah, and that's when she's like, which one? And she's got all of the necklaces.
Yeah,
and the corset tries its damnedest to make it look like she has boobs.
Right. Hey, and that's like, how I would look in a corset. I hear you, Cameron.
So your favorite characters, are they both Bill the Butcher? Or are you going with John C. Reilly?
I liked him in it. No, it's Bill the Butcher.
Yeah. I really have a hard time taking John C. Reilly serious.
I don't know. Like, I saw him in Chicago and I liked him.
Yeah, but
I'd give him a shot as an actor, not anything else.
How about the character that you wish would die in a fire?
That little snivelly guy from E.T.
Oh, Henry Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bitch.
I think that's a really good pick because he's like, hey, remember me from 16 years ago when I hit that guy down the leg and made it to where you didn't get away? By the way?
Right.
He's like, oh yeah.
I'm also going to screw you over later. Don't worry about it.
He's like, yeah, I remember you helping me out even though you didn't help me. He's like, oh cool. So we're good, right? Yep. It's like, wow, what a lot of trust to go off of. And he's like, hey, you're definitely sleeping with a girl that I like, so that's not going to come up again. Just by the way.
Sell you out,
yeah, really. It's like, oh my god. That one just seemed like it was the most easy to figure out and the sort of least amount of character on the page. I mean, Henry Thomas did a good job of being like a little snivelly guy, but it's like, what? There wasn't anything for him to do, even if he was trying to get the character to have a little bit more richness or anything.
Right. He couldn't sell out.
Yeah. What about the writing? What did you think of the writing?
It was okay. I liked, the different dialects, and I liked, to be honest, a lot of that, the office talk where they were, like, trying to get votes and stuff like that, I thought that was pretty fast-paced.
Yeah, some of that was good. I did like... I did like the sort of look at the way that the draft went and the way that the Civil War was received and that sort of stuff. I thought that was really interesting because I think when you, if I were teaching history, the books that I'm teaching would be teaching out of would not have that sort of thing in them. It'd be like, oh yeah, and the entire North went against the entire South and everything was hunky-dory and everyone was all on the same page. You know, that's the sort of generalizations that you end up learning about until you're either in college or outside of college. And so I think that was a good bit of business to put
just
in there.
Just have them watch this movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Just watch it, guys. I'm not teaching you for the next week. Just watch this.
I'm going to be in the back drinking. It's fine.
Drinking or sleeping. A little bit of both, maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
Set design, costume design. Like I said, this was a film that was nominated for an Oscar. So what did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't really know what the costumes, like, real people were wearing, but they looked pretty dirty and disgusting, so I think they did a good job.
Yeah, it seemed real to me, and this was let me make sure I'm right. I think this was in Rome, and they built these sets.
Really?
And so this was all practical stuff, and I believe in the IMDb trivia, people can look this up if they want, but George Lucas visited the set and looked around and said, you know, they can just do this in the computer, right? And that,
George!
And that says everything about both filmmakers to me.
Right.
He's like, you know, you don't have to do any work, right? You can just hire people to do it in the computer.
You can just, like, do it in the computer and make a R2-D2 and stuff.
So I read that and I was like, oh my god, I hope that's not true. Because that's just too perfect.
Maybe it was a joke.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he was joking. I mean, it would be a funny joke if he was.
Yeah. I didn't know he had a sense of humor, possibly.
Be a lot cooler if he did.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Speak of the devil.
Nice little segue. So before we move on to him, what would you give this one out of a 1 to a 5?
I would give it a 2.5.
Ooh, okay.
Like, I wouldn't warn people away from it, but I don't plan on seeing it again. But I didn't not like it, so 2.5. How about that?
I will give this one a 4. And I give it a 4, even though I had major problems with 2 of the 3 main actors. I think that I just like the fact that I didn't know really anything about it. If that makes any sense. It was like, okay, well, if it was like a historical time that I knew about already, and they were this heavy-handed with the information, I'd be like, oh, get the fuck out of here. But since I didn't know shit about New York during the Civil War, I was like, okay, well, you can give me all of the information that you want, because I don't know any of the information. You know?
Got it. So this was like a historical fiction about 90s movies or something.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, get out of town. Here. But, I think for the right person, I would want others to see it. I would not have an Elle see this. She wouldn't give a shit about it.
Right. It's hard to give a shit about it.
Yeah, and I just wish that Leo didn't have that long, stupid hair and that dopey look on his face, because it just made me think of, like, Titanic Leo with the sort of way he was acting, I guess.
Whoa, Leo was way better.
He was he just came off as so young. And then in The Aviator and then The Departed, the next 2 years, he just seems like he's grown up. And here he just felt like a little boy.
And Who's your favorite Leo?
I really like him in The Departed.
He's scary in The Departed.
He is scary.
Continuously on the verge of being out of control, and it scares me.
I like him in that, and I like him... I mean, I have a lot of time for the remake of Gatsby. And Annelle just loves that movie. And so we watch it not every month or something, but we watch it fairly regularly. And I just really like the way that he is sort of vapid, but is putting on a pretense, you know? Like, that's what he seems like to me, like a guy that is smart enough to pretend that he's smart, sort of a thing.
Like, right.
And so he may not actually be intellectual, like book smart, but he's a good con man, is what he strikes me as.
Right. Well, that's Gatsby to a T, basically.
Yeah,
like, I, the illusion of grandeur.
That's right.
Yeah. I like Gilbert Grape.
Oh, there you go.
He
got better. He got better.
God, that movie's awesome.
Callback. That was a callback if people are, you know, haven't listened to every single episode and memorized it all when Rachel thought originally in What's Eating Gilbert Grape when she just thought he got better. That was really, really an ailment that the actor had.
I never thought that.
Oh, I remember that distinctly. People can look back in the feed and find the episode where you talk
Somebody
about that.
Somebody proved me wrong. I feel like that's ridiculous. I didn't think he got better. He had his 18th birthday with Juliet Lewis. I knew he wasn't getting better.
Anyways, let's move on to another actor that people think is not getting any better. We're going to talk about the film from 2013 starring Matthew McConaughey. It is Dallas Buyers Club.
Woodruff, you've tested positive for HIV. Have you ever used intravenous drugs? Have you ever engaged in homosexual conduct?
Homo, you say homo? You made a mistake, because that ain't me.
Mr. Woodruff, we estimate you have 30 days left.
Newsflash, y'all. Ain't nothing out there can kill Ron Woodruff in 30 days.
Them drugs, they just released for testing, and I know this hospital's one of the size. I need it.
It doesn't work that way, Mr. Woodruff.
Where are you going?
They got good meds out of Mexico that's better than what you can get here in the States.
This protein, totally non-toxic.
And you can't buy this in the USA?
Not approved.
You could be making a fortune off of this.
You look great.
Actually, I look amazing.
Anything to declare? Nada.
They're importing illegal drugs for sale. It's a very serious offense.
They're not illegal. They're merely unapproved.
I've been looking for you, Lone Star.
This is Tinkerbell. Unless you got more cash or new clients, I'm busy.
You don't deserve our money.
Cut you in 5%.
25. Take it or leave it.
Welcome to the Dallas Buyers Club.
You treating these people?
They're treating themselves.
Well, I ain't selling drugs. I'm selling membership.
Walker, Dorsett, these are patients?
Yes, sir.
They're also the names of players on the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a hell of a coincidence.
The hell is it? I have a court order permitting us to confiscate any and all non-FDA approved supplements.
We need a new supply.
Check Amsterdam, Ghana, and Israel.
We could be in business with you.
Why are we here?
Nice restaurant, beautiful woman. That's where I feel like a human again.
You ain't alone.
Mr. Woodruff, what is going on?
People are dying.
You're nothing more than a common drug dealer.
TJ, this is Rayon.
Freaking
homo.
Oh. Man, I got one life.
You ain't alone.
Wanted to mean something.
Just let me be your ticket home.
In mid-1980s Texas, electrician Ron Woodruff is starting to learn that he has AIDS. Starting to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Though he has just 30 days left to live, Woodruff refuses to give in to despair. He seeks out alternative therapies, and smuggles approved drugs into the U.S. from wherever he can find them. Woodruff joins forces with a fellow AIDS patient and begins selling the treatments to the growing number of people who can't wait for the medical establishment to save them. Bum, bum, bum.
That is a first draft right there. A lot of problems there. So, tell me about Dallas Buyers Club, Miss Cruz.
I'm pretty sure we saw this in the theater.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I want to say that was a thing we did. And I think it's because we really like Jared Leto.
Oh, my God. Weird. Okay, I've got something to say about that here in just a second.
Like, 30 Seconds to Mars, like, we're like, oh, shit, Jared Leto's like... He was in movies in, like, the 90s, right?
Fight Club, yeah. He was the blonde that gets his ass kicked.
Oh, and he was also in that Claire Danes show, right?
Oh, My So-Called Life?
Yeah. And so, like, I like 30 Seconds to Mars, and I'm, like, pretty sure, you know, we do, like, Tuesday movie nights, and we're like, well, looks good. And I'm like, 90% sure we saw this in the theater.
Wow. So, That's crazy. That is crazy. Okay, so this was a film that I had not seen until this.
Oh, all right.
It was in one of those... I remember seeing the preview, and I was just like, oh, God, that's a movie that's going to be so important, and I'm really going to have to pay attention, and I just don't have the time.
And I don't want to. I don't want to pay attention.
Yeah, it's like, don't tell me what to feel, movie. I'm not going to.
That.
You know?
You hate that.
And that's just what it struck me as, though, right? It struck me as this guy's going to be down on his luck, and everything's going to be the worst, and then he's going to pull through, and here's where you feel the feels. And I'm like, no, I won't. I'm not even going to see it. You know? So, why did you pick this one, though? Why do you think this was a return to form, or why was this a big deal for Matthew McConaughey?
Because he was making crap movies before this. He was making rom-coms with What's-Her-Face.
With Kate Hudson.
Thank you.
Yeah. Rom-coms, which if people want to look back to our second episode ever. Rachel had this whole formula mapped out about these different rom-coms.
Still holds true.
Sometimes I think about the amount of effort that took, and then I think of the amount of effort that we put forth now, and I'm like, oh man, where is the time gone? Look at what we used to do. Look how hard we used to have to try.
Okay, so he was in...
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That Wedding was 2003. Planner. Failure to Launch. Fool's Gold. Tropic Thunder, which I am going to give him credit for. Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. And then he was in The Lincoln Lawyer, which I didn't see, but I heard was okay.
Yeah, that's all right. I saw that. I mean, it's okay. It's kind of like, oh, that's a good pop song. It's like, well, there's nothing really to it, but it's all right. You know, one of those kind of movies.
Sure. And then he was in Mud, which was confusing to me. I did not like it. It was just confusing to me. As a person. And then he was in Magic Mike, which is just crap. And so then Dallas Buyers Club was, I feel like it was where I started. So I know we're going to talk about a couple of other these down the road, I guess.
Yeah.
One of these. Yeah. But that's kind of the beginning. Dallas Buyers Club, Wolf of Wall Street, which the 5 minutes that he was in just made the whole movie, by the way. Mm. And then True Detective. And so it starts getting him like more serious roles. I feel like this was kind of the beginning of him, me at least, saying, you know what, okay.
Like a transition between being a movie star and being an actor.
Yeah, perfect. That's okay. Perfect way to say it. Yeah.
Now you saw him in Dazed and Confused after the fact, I'm guessing?
First of all, that movie's amazing, and no. I saw him in Dazed and Confused when I was like 10 years old, and... Still amazing in it.
Yeah, I remember seeing him. I remember him being in A Time to Kill. Like, I didn't see it because he was in it or anything. And
it was good.
You know, Contact and Amistad and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, okay, like, I know who the guy is. And the first time, you know, we had The Wedding Planner came out, and I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be like this. This is this guy. Like, this is
right.
This is what this guy is going to be. And then I saw him in Frailty, which is an interesting horror movie, with, Oh shit, what's his name? It's one of the guys that has similar.
Matthew McConaughey.
It's one of the guys. Oh, it's a Bill Paxton. I always get Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman confused. But right. It's Bill Paxton from Weird Science.
Chet,
yeah, who was the director and in it. But I remembered seeing that movie and really liking that and was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, it's Matthew McConaughey not being like a, just like a charming douche.
Right.
And I was like, that could be cool. And then he was in Reign of Fire, which I didn't see until way after the fact, so it doesn't really count. But then I remember seeing that he was in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and then they went and were like, oh, let's try to make him an action star. So he was in Sahara, and that bombed.
Oh, yeah.
And then Two for the Money and Failure to Launch, and then he started doing the, like, biopic inspirational stuff with We Are Marshall, and I was like, this guy is just, like, straight cheese, nothing to him whatsoever.
Right.
Right?
He's, like, trying... He's just doing, like, money movies,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
I thought.
He's a movie star, is basically, right? And then
yeah.
I saw the previews for Mud, and Mud was directed by Mike Nichols, who did Take Shelter, which is one of my favorite movies. And this was the movie that he did after, I believe. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, he's going to take... This director is going to take Matthew McConaughey and make him into... like a bona fide actor. Like
to the next level.
Yeah, really. And so I really liked that a lot. And Magic Mike came out and I'm like, nope, he's a douche. Like, he's just doing his,
right.
He's doing it back to his same old stuff. And I skipped by this and I didn't see at the time Wolf of Wall Street either. And I just kind of, I don't know. I just was kind of like trying to ignore him, I think. Like, it was like, oh,
right.
Matthew.
That's understandable.
Like,
that's really understandable.
You know, it's like, I can't decide what he is. Just go away. And then he was in True Detective, and then he was in Interstellar. And I was like, wait a minute. Chris?
Chris? Is he good?
Chris thinks he's good? Wait a minute now.
You know you've made it, right? He called me before, and he's like, do you think I should put him in there? And I'm like, do it, buddy. Take
yeah.
a chance.
And so yeah. that's when I was kind of like, whoa, wait a minute. And we'll talk about True Detective maybe later. But so, I, you know, visiting this film and going back into this time where he's slowly kind of coming out of just being a movie star and being an actor, I thought he was good in this. But I wasn't sort of blown away, I guess. And I think that a lot of that is because just because you're an asshole and you're playing against type and you lost weight doesn't mean that you're doing, like, life-changing work. Is sort of what it made me think.
So to be fair, I would say that playing against type is an over... exaggeration,
because
he's playing a Texas person, and I'm fairly sure he's from Texas.
Yeah, that's...
Am I wrong?
That part is true, I guess, yeah.
And so it's not like he had to learn an accent, which is to me, like, if you're gonna, like, character act and, like, nailing that accent is, like, a total 100% you have to, and he already had it, so, I mean, I'm not saying he couldn't, but he didn't have to. And getting skinny is awful, but you know, he did look like shit in this
movie.
Oh,
he really did.
So, like, he did a good job of looking really gross. So I don't know if playing against type, I'm sure in real life, just from what I maybe know a little bit about him, that he's probably not an asshole, so that's probably playing against type. Mm-hmm. But it's really easy to play an asshole, I think. I could do it right now.
Oh, well, I do it every day of my life. We have all of those rom-coms, though, where it's like, even if he's a jerk, he's a good guy at heart, or he's a good guy at the end, you know, that sort of BS. And so it was, like, a little against type for me that he actually was, like, just a terrible person for most of this movie. Right?
I think he had a heart of gold.
Well, maybe it was, I guess he was against type at least in the fact that he looked awful. And normally,
that's true.
And normally he's, like, the good-looking, like, even if he's a dick, he can get away with it kind of a thing.
Right, because he's, like, he just takes his shirt off, and they're like, I forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So I just put, my main question was, he's an unlikable main character, and that equals good acting? Because I feel like in some of these important in quotation movies, it's like, okay, well, your main character is a jerk, and now the movie's good, and he's an important person, is what it makes me feel.
To be fair, I would watch a movie just because the main character is an asshole. But that's just my preference.
Okay, well,
because I think assholes.
Well, let me ask you this then. How do you like Leaving Las Vegas?
With Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
He's not an asshole. He's pathetic.
Okay.
That's a totally different scenario.
Okay.
He's just really sad and trying to die.
The comparisons there for me were that it was a guy that was kind of a joke for a long time as an actor. And then it's like, here's the serious life-threatening type role that they're going to take on. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And so that was the comparison.
Still Nicolas Cage.
That is true.
But do you think, like, as far as given what he had and given what he had to play, do you think he did a good job?
I do think he did a good job, yeah. I thought he was good. I thought he was almost unrecognizable. If it was a different voice, I wouldn't have known that it was Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Because he looked different enough and he just seemed like a different person. But when he talked, you're like, oh, okay, that's him.
Right.
You know, on the flip side, I got maybe 9/10 of the way through the movie before I figured out that Jared Leto was in this movie.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't know who this dude is, but this dude is the fucking shit. Like, I don't know. This guy is legit. And so then I looked and I was like, oh, holy shit, that's Jared Leto.
Yeah. My notes were, Jared Leto is a prettier woman than I will ever be. Just beautiful bone structure. Good for him.
Oh, that is funny. And yeah, I just did not put the...
Put
I just didn't put it together.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess going back to the movie itself a little bit is, what did you think about the day-by-day format?
I kind of liked it because it's a little disorienting, and I think that's kind of where whoever did this, you know, and I don't, wanted you to be. Like, you wanted to, because you start out before you know. And so I think they wanted you to go on that journey with him. Obviously you not put yourself in his shoes because you're not a Texas electrician in the 1980s, but like kind of being in that room and saying, what if this were happening to me, and like maybe feeling those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they wanted to make it like as this could be you as possible. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I think I was sort of conflicted about it, and I think it worked well at the end, but I'm watching it and I'm like, we're going through these days way too quick. Like, what's going on? And he's terrible. And we have the sort of iconic, image of him crying in his car. And that'll be part of the Instagram post that'll come out, with that sort of look of him where he's really like, they're like, all right, Matthew, it's time to break down. Like, this is going to be real
pretend
fun.
Someone stole your Puka Chanel necklace.
Yeah. This is a real fun day for you, buddy, but you're going to just cry all day. So it's during that bit where I'm like, we're going through this too quick, you know, and he ends up going through all of his business to stay alive and, you know, and the story moves forward. And then once at the end, it came back and it said day, you know, 2700 or whatever it was.
Oh yeah.
And then it came back at the end. I was like, oh, okay. Now it makes sense, because it was like, oh, the first third of the movie, we're going to do all of this day 5, day 20, whatever.
Right.
And then we're just going to forget about it. I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. You can't just start something and then just completely stop narratively anyway.
Yes, you can.
Well, not in a typical Hollywood film, you know.
Yes.
So what did you, let's talk about Jennifer Garner real quick. What did you think of her?
She was more believable than Cameron Diaz.
Oh, nice. What a compliment.
what did I write? Jennifer Garner semi-believable as a doctor, adorable when she says fuck. Like, I feel like she does not say fuck in her daily life, and she said it in this movie, and I was like, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Isn't that funny how some people will swear, and you're like, you don't really say that word ever, do you?
People say that to me all the time.
Oh, please. And then you'll have someone say, you'll hear someone say it, and you're like, oh, God, that just sounds really dirty when you say that word compared to someone else. Like, just like, oh.
I feel like that's your middle name. Is that your middle name?
You're like, that just sounds way more offensive than when other people say
that. That's when you know they're doing a good job.
Yeah, really. I also thought she was good in this. I thought that she is, I put, much more believable than Denise Richards would be.
Oh, yeah. That's always the standard. Richards is a scientist.
Yeah, and so I was like, well, yeah. She does seem like she could be a doctor. Like, that makes sense to me. Yeah. Like, she seems like, the way that she carries herself, she does seem like she's an intelligent person. And so I was like, okay, I can go along with that. Yeah, so
she
that
didn't,
was
like,
good.
Blow me away or anything.
Oh,
but
no.
I don't think that the character was supposed to blow anyone away anyway.
Yeah, she doesn't have a whole lot to do, really, other than just to be, like, the good person in this world.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I did feel like, God, we need to watch some movies that are a little bit cleaner, because I felt so filthy watching these two films.
Both of these, yeah. And they're both like semi-historical fiction, which I thought was interesting too.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, can we have a, you know, it's rare when I'm the one saying, can we have a little like light and sunshine in the world? Like, this is awful.
Can we watch a 1950s musical after this? I need some squeaky clean.
That's not our next theme, is it?
Yes.
Just kidding.
It is now.
Yeah. So anything else about this, the film itself, before we kind of move on to our little bits?
Well, I mean, like, talking about, you said you didn't know anything about New York. Yeah. I knew very little about all of this happening in the 80s, obviously, since I wasn't alive yet. But a lot of that shit is crazy. Like, the blatant, ignorant fear of homosexuals was, like, jarring to me. Like, I live in a bubble, and I can't even...
I guess, let's see, how do I want to phrase this? We live in Nebraska, and there are rodeos in this state, and so I have been to some too. I have family members that used to participate in them, and
that's cool.
I can see this sort of mentality being really prevalent within the rodeo community, right? So it struck me as very believable, I guess. You know, I was like, okay,
well, and
that
one of the things,
right.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wrote down, though, is that it's proof that ignorance equals fear. Because he's saying all those horrible things, and he meets Jared Leto, and he doesn't like him at first, and then they're, like, BFFs at the end. And, like, that, I mean, I don't want to get all philosophical, but like, that is my mantra, is like, go have coffee with someone and then call them horrible things. I bet you can't do it. Like,
that has nothing to do with the current political system, right?
Nope. Nothing at all.
Good.
None things about it.
Good.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. It's not similar whatsoever.
Nope. Nothing that's happening right now politically has anything to do with what I say. So.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's a whole nother discussion. So, I think that I was surprised at how much I liked the film.
Good.
And I think that it does do some things where it's pulling at the heartstrings on purpose, and sometimes I kind of rejected it, and sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, alright. You earned that
I'll
one.
I'll give you some string.
Yeah, you earned that one, movie. I think that I'll give you that one.
Good job, movie.
Yeah. And so, you know, it wasn't extremely loud and incredibly close or something like that.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I can't even think of that movie.
Yeah. That's my, like, go-to as to manipulative films. So we talked about Oscars for Gangs of New York. This was nominated for 6, and it won in 3. It won for Best Actor from Mr. McConaughey. It won for Best Supporting Actor by Jared Leto. and Best Makeup.
Fair enough.
And it was nominated for Best Picture, Best Editing, and Best Screenplay. So there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, so it did quite well. It was a movie that I kind of, if you look at my notes, like, I'm all over the place on it. There are times where I'm like, I don't get it. Just because he's a dickhead doesn't mean he's doing a good job as an actor. And then later I'm like, okay, you've convinced me, McConaughey. And it's like, oh, now he's, you know, I was just like on the roller coaster of the film. And it's really odd to look at my notes and be like, oh my God, you were like in the film, like the director was trying to make you and you didn't realize
it. Right?
Yeah.
Mr. I don't want to get manipulated. Totally got manipulated.
Oh, absolutely. I did. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought it was good.
One of the things that I did enjoy though is that he is, you know, we see him as this like, whatever, redneck rodeo guy, but he like learns that he has this and he goes and like studies up on it. Like he is intelligent enough that he's like, this is what I have. And he's talking to that doctor in Mexico and like, he obviously doesn't know everything there is to know, but like he knows enough that the doctor's telling him stuff. And I'm like, props for like doing your research. So I got to give him props for that.
Yeah. I won't, you know, it's one of those where I may disagree with someone, but as long as they're knowledgeable about the thing that I'm disagreeing with them about, I can be at least be like, okay, well, you know, I don't agree, but you know,
was that also political?
Bygones be bygones, but if you're just, you know, spouting off and you don't have any sort of information behind it, I'm like,
people are the worst.
F you, you know, just a big F you, and not that I have people at my employment that are like that. Not that we have. We learned about paralepsis the other day, Cruz, which is giving emphasis to something by saying the words not in the sentence. So I'm not going to say that people at my work are unintelligent when it comes to political matters. So I didn't say that.
Well, is that like Borat pause not?
That is black knot. Right? That is black knot.
Okay.
That is not black. You say
not black.
You say not at the end. That is black knot. No. Okay, so was this a return to form, or was this a new McConaughey for you? I guess we could frame it that way. Like, because I'll go ahead and ramble on, and say that while I thought he was good in Dazed and Confused, you know, like you, cooler if you did, right? I never really had considered him as an actor until Mud, which was right around the same time as this.
Yep.
So I don't know if I don't know if that's a return or if it's just like an introduction to him as being like a serious person.
I agree with that. I think this was kind of a pique my interest, and then I mean honestly, True Detective was where I was like, God damn. All right.
I said God damn.
Basically.
From Pulp Fiction. So what is your favorite moment of the film?
Probably when he's in the grocery store and he sees his old friend.
Oh, God, is that good. Yes.
Yeah.
He's got his old friend and he's got Jared Leto with him.
Yep.
Super and good he's like, moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that too. I was trying to think of something where when I was up, not down on the roller coaster ride, but I think that one in the grocery store I'll go with too. How about your least favorite moment or most cringeworthy?
Anytime he looked awful. Like, I think right at the beginning when he got his diagnosis and he decided to try to medicate with, like, cocaine and whiskey.
He
just looked really disgusting. I was like, oh.
When the girls are over.
Yeah. He looked gross.
That part's bad. I think the part that was hardest for me to listen to was when he's in the doctor's office and he's just been diagnosed. And he starts just saying, like, he starts saying faggot a lot. And I'm like, ugh. Like, ooh, this is rough. Like, this is tough listening.
And he's
just being, like, such a jerk. Like, you know, you understand why he's upset and why he's scared and all that sort of stuff. But you're just like, oh, my God. Like, what an asshole. So.
Right. Like I said, he overreacted. That was wrong. Like, you don't overreact, but like, he just said, yeah, he said things out of his mouth that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was tough. And what's weird is, like, I could remember being, like, a little kid and watching movies and hearing that and not thinking much of it. I'd be like, oh, geez. Look at that. He called him that. And now I hear it, and now I hear it, and I'm like, oh, God.
Ugh,
really?
Yeah,
did you have to use that? Oh, geez. Okay.
So, like, bajillion different words in the American language, in English language, and you pick that one.
Yeah, really. Ugh. Your favorite character, is it Jared Leto?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Absolutely. And I liked also that it did continue on with that sort of Hollywood thing of, oh, it's the person with the heart of gold that just can't get their shit together. You know?
Yes, it was so disheartening to see that. Like, you're high again. He's like, well, I can't help it. Oh, and then right before he goes to the hospital and he says, I don't want to die, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, jeez, yeah. That was rough. How did you find the writing in this one?
I mean, it was good. They talked about medical stuff, so somebody had to do some sort of research.
That's right. It was kind of the opposite of Gangs of New York in that it was research that wasn't screaming research in your face.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because
you
the
had
time
to know enough. It looked dangerous, but...
Yeah, because the time frame is almost 30 years ago.
That's crazy.
Right? You're telling me. I mean, I was alive. It's like, holy shit, I'm getting old. Which is funny, because I still get carded, and that's annoying.
Aww,
yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. And so, with it being almost 30 years ago, it's like, holy shit, you know, they need to do some kind of research, and that goes along with the set design and the costume design, is it felt like it was made in the 80s to me. Like, it looked like it was in the 80s to me. I was like, okay, this sort of what my old pictures and shit look like.
So everything in the 80s was perpetually dirty?
Dirty and very bright red, or whatever that room ended up being.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just like that.
It must have, I don't know, it felt gross and dirty to me the whole time.
Oh, well. That's sort of what we went with this week for some reason.
It's true, it's true.
So out of 1 to 5, what would you give this Funk Cruiser?
Like, it's one of those emotional ones where it's going to take me a little bit of time away from it to want to rewatch it again, because it's like, it's really hard to watch.
Yeah.
So I would recommend it to people. I would say, yeah, you should go see that. Or, you know, you should see it. That's good. But it'll be a little bit before I watch it again, just out of pure, like, I'm going to go watch, like, 5 comedy movies in a row.
So it's like a 3.5 or so?
Like, yeah, 4. I would say 4.
A 4, okay. That's what I would give it, too, and which is weird, because I think that's the only thing I've given all of the movies so far in the Volume 2 is just 4s.
Me too.
No, you gave Gangs in New York 2.5.
I really did, and I stick by that.
Yeah. So I do think this is good. I think that it's one of those, it's a lot like Gangs of New York, where I would recommend this to others, but I don't know that this is like a, hey, Anel, we have a free night, let's watch Dallas Buyers Club, and then talk about how terrible the world is.
Right.
You know? I don't know if it's that kind of a
right?
thing.
Right? Let's talk about the FDA being jerks.
About how they're just trying to poison you is all they're trying to do, is sons of bitches. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else before we wrap up about this particular set of people there, Cruiser?
Sorry, that was just funny to me for some reason.
That was funny?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. If you have any comments,
I should say I could tell we haven't been around each other very often. If that was a funny thing for you,
well, you're just like, well, you have any more comments about this particular set of people and places and things? Like, you mean movies? You mean the movies we're just talking about?
The people, because we're talking about the people and the comebacks of these people.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, so if you have any comments,
anyway, hey, that's me.
I know.
If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter under the handle at Plain Label Pod. We also have a Facebook and Instagram page where you can like and follow our accounts. Just look for Plain Label Podcast, spelled like it sounds. Sorry. If you wanted to help us out, you can head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. We have a whole bunch of stuff we want, some that will help the podcast sound better, and some just because we're greedy and poor. That's not a lie. Yeah. Just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week with a third look at comebacks with a discussion on Robert Downey Jr. and Captain Woodrow.